And I would go so far to say that in marketing, you are the solution. You are not the hero, ever. You're never the hero. You can't be the hero. Your audience, the person who is in the shoes of your target audience, they have to be the hero. And if you don't do that, you're telling the wrong story.
Welcome to Aligned with host Sean Doyle, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between their sales and marketing. In today's episode, we're revisiting the second half of Sean's discussion with commercial film director and executive producer Taylor Robinson. In this episode, Taylor and Sean discuss common storytelling mistakes, examples of great stories in modern media, and the importance of aesthetics in video production. For the first half of Sean's conversation with Taylor on storytelling, tune into our previous episode. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
You know, I sum up storytelling so many times already, but storytelling is about before and after. And in before and after, you find problems and solutions. And in before and after, you find bad and good. Right. And so a great testimonial from somebody doesn't have to be complicated and cost you $100 million to shoot. It can just be shot with your iPhone, but fight for, in the testimonial, the bad to be bad and the good to be good. Not just, let's talk about the good things. No, we had this problem and that's where the bad is. And now this is where, and this product or this service was my solution. And the bad is what makes the good as it can be.
We did some work for a law firm a jillion years ago, and they were incredibly powerful. The law firm actually saw 35% per partner per share growth over the years these ads ran. And what was interesting about the ads was it featured executives talking about what they saw going on in the economy and around them and how other executives might follow that advice or see those observations and glean from it. And then the very, very, just the tagline was, this story was brought to you by the law firm. And it was an aha moment. First of all, it was astonishing that it got approved, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted the law firm to be the hero.
Sure.
But what those testimonials did, really, it was not a testimonial about the law firm directly, but indirectly, these powerful, smart executives were saying, by the way, they're my law firm. We work together. And that endorsement was powerful. So I think endorsement still makes sense.
Absolutely.
But if it's this direct nose-on endorsement, I tune it out because I know the outcome of the
crummy
story.
Crummy commercial.
It's like a bad, it's like a bad movie or a bad story. You know, I mean,
it's like in the Christmas story, he drink more Ovaltine. That's what I waited for. It's a crummy commercial. No, thank you.
Right. Okay, Taylor. Hallmark movies.
Okay.
I know how the Hallmark movie is going to work.
Yep.
But I keep watching them. Why?
You don't keep watching them. No. The reason is because you love to be told a great story. Well, you love
arc.
To be told. You love to follow
arc.
Stories.
Everybody who's ever watched a Hallmark.
Okay.
Well,
here's the answer.
Everybody who's ever watched two Hallmark movies knows the pattern.
I was having a hard time coming to it. Here's the answer. As a storyteller, I say this all the time, your greatest tool is the fact that the audience, no matter where you are, the audience always wants to know what happens next more than anything. They want to know that more than they want to know anything else. And so with Hallmark movies, you may know exactly how the movie's going to end. Yeah, they're going to get back together and it's all going to work out fine, but you don't know how they're going to get back together. And you want to know what happens next. And
so it's not about the end, it's about the journey.
It is. Boy, isn't that true? It is not about the end, it's about the journey. And so with that, storytelling, I feel like in some ways, storytelling is cheating. And by that, I mean, it's not complicated and it's ancient. Like, we've been telling stories to each other for a really long time as humans. Some would say since we could communicate. And the rules and the fundamentals of telling great stories, it's very simple. And they haven't changed or evolved or become more complicated as we've gotten more scientific as this is, like,
right.
It's the same as it was whenever we were banging rocks together. And that is proof that what you were saying, Everybody wants to know what happens next in the story. Even if it's if it's a terrible story, you still in some ways want in the back of your mind to go, I wonder how he's going to convince her
right,
that he's not a horrible person.
You know? I know they're going to have conflict and I know it's going to resolve. Now I just get to sit back.
That's right.
And then, so it doesn't have to, good filmmaking doesn't have to be surprising all the way through.
No. Nope.
But it has to have that arc. I have to see that journey. So hugely popular is the story brand model from Donald Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that a story has seven steps. A character, you've said that, right?
Yeah.
A problem, you just said that. They meet a guide.
This is the arc. This is his arc, yeah.
This is his arc. What's, you have an opinion on this idea of guides?
No, it's a very, Donald Miller's seven steps is very, it's a very, very common arc, story arc. In fact, you probably learned it in eighth grade literature. You probably learned some form of it in eighth grade literature.
He's done a great job of marketing.
Changing the words and right. then marketing and repackaging it. But Donald Miller's seven steps are, they have to do with the sales process, right? So like he wrote his seven steps for people to use as a marketing tool. And perfect. So the meeting of the guide, that is the perfect blank for you to enter
my
your guy or your product right. or your service. What Donald Miller created, and he has people spending buckets of money to go spend like $10,000 to spend the weekend with him. It's nothing new.
But it works.
But it works. And yeah. also, and it doesn't work because he rewrote it. It works because he's teaching it in a way that people are willing to, he's teaching ancient truths in a way that people are willing to spend money on in a modern day. Good for him.
Yeah. And I would take the position of, so you've got this character, a problem, a guide, there's a plan, there's a call to action that helps them avoid failure and there's success. So I would say that my differentiation and he's the one making millions of dollars, not me. So maybe you should listen to him. But the idea of a character who has a problem that ends up avoiding failure and ends up in success, that is the same arc we talked about as an astronaut on Mars or anything that we've ever shot. I think the differentiator here is meets the guide, has the plan, calls them to action. I think the propensity for business to insert themselves as the hero there and overdo it, drum it out of people. I believe people, there's this Broca-Wernicke conflict, and it's the two parts of your brain that assemble and form words and put images and words together. And there's a predictive ability yeah. that those two parts of your brain have. If I'm watching a story and then I see the spokesman step in as the hero holding the brand product and I turn off.
That's right.
You lose me.
That's right.
So I think the danger of this format is too much weight on this hero guide idea. It can be too much of a blunt object.
Yeah.
So how do you do? So now we're talking about if my supposition is correct, we're talking about varying degrees. What do you recommend? You're the expert.
Okay.
You recommend that the viewer will figure out that who the guide was. And that gives them a way to participate? Or do you need to be, right, this is commerce and we've got 30 seconds to do this?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I believe, I listened to Donald Miller's book, and I believe that he would say, your customer is the hero of the story. And if your product or your service ever becomes the hero of the story, you're not telling a story anymore, or you're not telling the right story. And so that's my advice to all executives who ever need to do make a marketing message, and they choose, we want to tell a story well, and that be our marketing message.
Yep. So Clarence the Angel and It's a Wonderful Life yeah. is the guide.
That's
he
right.
had the plan, and
that's
he
right.
called Jimmy Stewart's character,
right.
George Bailey, to an action.
That's right.
But we never were once asked as a viewer of that. Clarence wasn't selling me anything.
That's
so
right.
I trusted him.
That's right. And I would go so far to say that within marketing, like, you are the solution. You are not the hero, ever. You're never the hero. You can't be the hero. Your audience, the person who is in the shoes of your target audience, they have to be the hero. And
That's
if
great.
You don't do that, you're telling the wrong story.
After more than 20 years in the trenches, Fitzmartin, CEO, put pen to paper to share what has proven to work for his clients. With the help of Brock Bench Press, Sean has been able to articulate 19 practical ideas founded in behavior change science that will change how you, your team, and your organization view marketing. Pick up your copy of Shift today on Amazon or click on the link in the show notes.
How do you know when it's okay to call your niece or nephew with their iPhone and in kind of this democratization of equipment? You know, we're sitting on my patio with a laptop and two mics, and I've got minimal amount of course, we're listening to birds, and it's not a production studio, but is it good enough for a podcast? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it is good enough.
How do you navigate that? Because you're a purveyor of people who really understand high quality communications.
I think it's a really good question. I think the pendulum swings hard, but like almost all things in life, the answer is found somewhere in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. And you may not need to spend $2 million on a TV commercial for your very, very small company. You don't need to. You can't. You won't. But Coca-Cola does need to, because they have a brand awareness that is global, that the audience expects that kind of quality. And so the answer is, I believe that the answer is different for every single problem. So if you come to me, one of the things that we are really, really good at is you come to me and you say, hey, well, our budget, what we can afford to spend is this. What we're really good at is saying, okay, well, the best thing you can get for that amount of money is this idea. And that's where taste comes in, our taste, right? So if you've only got $20 to spend on this video, there are always budget restraints, always. But the thing to keep in mind when you're looking to create a message, especially when you're talking about making a film or a video, is that you want the highest possible production value that you can afford. And that has as much to do with who you hire to do it as it does to how much money you spend. And those two things go hand in hand. And what I mean by that is, if you want your brand to appear to the general audience out there, especially your target audience, to be very valuable, whatever it is that you have, then the messages that you create for them, they also need to look very valuable. Like, we spent our money on this. And so whenever you pick a partner, a film director to make your commercial, I would say that the person you choose and the team you choose to help you accomplish your goals is just as important as how much money you're going to spend. Because we've all seen commercials that costed truckloads of money to make that aren't any good. And it's not an issue. That's not a budget issue. That's the people. That's an execution issue.
Yep. Yeah. So I think that makes sense. We can all buy equipment. Anybody can buy equipment.
All day.
That's easy, actually.
That's right.
If it's really expensive equipment, you can rent equipment. In fact, you rent equipment sometimes.
Tons of equipment.
That's fine.
My dad has a saying, it ain't the gear, it's the guy, right? And so throwing production value is, you can only get the effect you want as much as the people that you partner with are capable of executing.
So I like the focus on people, because I think that brings a great point to it. So there is an appropriate amount of money to spend. So there's two points here. The first point is your brand. So Coca-Cola, we talk about a 50-cent product, but a multi-million dollar TV production. But what Coca-Cola is selling is not 50 cents of sugar and water.
No, that's
right?
Not
it's so selling their brand.
Lifestyle.
It's who I am as a person. They're selling, to some extent, you might even say self-identity. So we talk about Coca-Cola selling a 50-cent product, but that's not what they're selling. They're selling lifestyle, the ideals of who they are.
Yeah.
And that even varies by brand, right?
That's
so Mountain Dew, if I remember, is that a Coca-Cola product or is that Pepsi?
Aren't they all Coca-Cola?
Doesn't matter. Yeah. If not, forgive us, Coca-Cola. But Mountain Dew has a very different attitude than Mellow Yellow, even though they both kind of look like yellowish, sugary, caffeine sort of drinks.
Yeah.
But I associate a skateboarder with one and Mellow Yellow. I don't even know
hippies.
What I do. Kind of hippie laid back, you know. So, yeah, I mean, they're selling something different. And the way to get there is really good storytelling.
That's right.
And that's what they do. So the flip side of that then would be the people. The second point here is, well, the first point is you're selling your brand, your product, the association of that product. It's not all, and we talk about the value triad, it's not all about how your product can make you more money or solve your problem. Or it's part of it. I am buying some self-identity in the way the world approaches things, right? There's my car can get me from A to B.
Right.
Now, do I want to do it in Hyundai or Mercedes? They both get you from A to B.
Right.
It starts having to do with what I want, what I believe, how I feel, et cetera. So that's where storytelling comes in.
Absolutely.
Differentiation. And as a business tool, storytelling can be a lever to actually get more value or to draw more value from your marketplace.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And also to show it, to get more value, yes. But I believe what you mean by that is to show the value that your product or whatever has in the marketplace. Is that what you mean?
No, I really literally mean if your marketing and your storytelling is so powerful, so effective.
Oh, yeah. Association.
For example, Caterpillar versus Komatsu. I did a little study the other day. And Caterpillar versus Komatsu, you could buy almost identical pieces of equipment, same power, same lift, same number of, and same amount of cylinders, same capacities, and Caterpillar is going to charge you almost $80,000 to $90,000 more for the exact same specificity,
yeah.
specification in right. either product. Why? Why? And in fact, the research actually showed, yeah, the Komatsu was actually cheaper to operate long term. So you think they could charge more.
Right.
And why? So why? Yeah, brand.
The brand. So,
right?
Yeah.
It's a Caterpillar. I can now go out and say, well, if I do the work for you, all my equipment's going to be Caterpillar. It's the best.
Yeah. And I would say, so like with executives who are out there, if you built a business or you're in charge of a business, and I can only assume that excellence in the thing that you do or the product that you sell is a very, very important aspect of the way you run your business. We have an excellent product. Our people treat our customers excellent. And I believe that the same should be true about your marketing messages. Our marketing message is excellent. It looks excellent. It's well thought out. It's done well. And it's just important to fight for that.
Well, and you and I have a financial services client that we worked on together that is a small regional entity.
Yep.
But they deliver and offer the same services as a competitor of theirs who's a Fortune 500 entity.
That's right.
And their marketing, their television looks as good, maybe even better,
maybe even better,
because the Fortune 500 stuff, to me, tends to look a little cut and paste, a little generic.
Super generic. You could play this anywhere in the world.
You could put any bank in the world sure. could use those ads, versus our client who really intelligently has invested in not those huge production value budgets because we had extra trucks and trailers and whatever. We've actually spent more money on the right talent. And by that, I mean the right director, the right editor, the right colorist.
Actors. And
right actors, right. In the right roles.
That's right.
And spend the less money on things that are less important. So production values is really an investment in craft, not equipment.
That's right.
I think
that's
so.
That's right. And, you know, they say, what is that common saying that if you've got a job, you should dress for the job that you want or whatever it is.
Right. You know, not the one you have. Yeah.
Dress for the job you want, not the one that you have. And I believe that is true for marketing messages. Your marketing message should look, you should look like the brand that you aspire to be, not that you currently are.
Taylor, we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about story arcs, techniques. We've talked about heroes. We've talked about anchors. Talked about a lot of things. What? Tell me, as we wrap up this segment, tell me what's the thing I didn't ask you? Again, thinking about this executive who's made it through to the end of this podcast, and they're going, gosh, I need one little bit of gold.
The one thing that you do, so if I think back on our conversation, the most important thing that everyone needs to understand is that stakes are the most, problems are so important. But if it's something that we haven't talked about, I would say this is something that my father used to always say, and I think we all say it because it's cute. just don't overthink it. The art of storytelling, the craft of storytelling is very, very simple. It's incredibly simple. And if you understand just very, very simple things, you got to have a character, he's got to have a problem, it has to happen in some place. And there's a, with marketing videos, there has to be a solution that involves your product, right? So that's just basic story structure of marketing storytelling. Don't overthink it, because it's so easy to think, well, we've got to find a way to get the bullet list of features in of our product in this thing. No, it's not. Your audience is smart. They can connect the dots and they can fill in the blanks. And when you start adding all the gobbledygook that isn't storytelling to your stories, you're almost insulting your audience and saying, well, we don't think that you can connect these dots. Tell That's a story brilliant. Well, and trust that your audience is smart enough to connect the dots because you made the spot.
I think that's insightful. And Taylor, you've said something. You can quote your father. I'm going to quote you.
Okay.
Filmmaking is simple.
It is.
It's not easy, but it's simple.
It is. And it is absolutely so true, because it's not like brain surgery. Brain surgery is very complicated and people get paid an enormous amount of money. But those guys in Hollywood who make more money than brain surgeons, they have figured out a way to package something that is very, very simple. They know how to do it. They've got great exposure. But the thing that they're doing at Pixar is very simple. They just know the rules and they don't deviate from the rules. And they've all got a great story about the time that they deviated from the rules and they made a mistake, or they fumbled. This story didn't work well because of XYZ, and I fumbled this thing that was true. So yeah, it's simple, but it is not easy.
Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you.
Taylor Robinson, where would I find you if I wanted to plug in and learn more about you at 6foot5.com?
6foot5.com is the production company, and ARC Stories, that's ARC like a story arc, ARCStories.com.
And what about this new entity?
Oh, boy.
Let's get back together and we'll talk about that next.
Love it.
All right. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.